Jimmy Parker joins us on Sports Byline. He's the founder and creative director for Beauty of a Game. He explores the beauty of sports through the lens of art, design, photography, and maker community. First of all, Jimmy, tell everybody what Beauty of the Game is.
Really, it's just kind of a platform for me to spotlight, talk about, discuss, and help promote sports imagery in all of its facets, whether it be art, photography, design. There's some great things coming out of people are making different things from sports objects and with sports objects. And it's just it's really great to see all this stuff. And it's just a way for me to help spread the word a little bit.
Something must have hooked you on this early in your life. What was it?
Well, I was a child of the 1980s, so I definitely spent my time collecting baseball cards, sports cards of all types, and really got involved in that and went head over heels. And as I got older and started working in professional career, I've worked in advertising and design most of my adult life. So I think I was always drawn to the imagery of sports. And so that was just kind of, it naturally evolved. And years ago, I think around the late 2000s, 2008, I started working at an advertising agency here in South Carolina. And one of my accounts was a local minor league baseball team. And that just kind of sealed the deal. All this passion that I had for baseball and sports visuals, I could actually, use that in my working life. So that really kind of was a springboard to what became Beauty of the Game.
Jimmy, one of the things I know is that people have an expertise in certain things. They see those things differently than what the average person would be. So when you take a look at something that is in sports and you see it by way of art or design, what do you see and what are you looking for?
I don't know that I'm actually looking for anything. I think that's one of the beautiful things about sports art is there's just such a wide variety of people working in different styles, different techniques. And so for me, it's just really just kind of keep a tab on all the stuff that's really exploding. And thanks to social media, it's much easier now to follow these artists. And you don't have to go to galleries in New York or San Francisco. You could catch them on Twitter and on Instagram. So it's really just, for me, it's looking at everything. And I can find appreciation in so many different things. It's kind of like your musical styles. Your taste may change over time. You may go back and forth with a group you like or different eras. But at the end of the day, you can appreciate something on all of them. That's how I am with sports art and imagery. There's just there's something beautiful about sports, and I think these images, in whatever way they're presented, appeal to me.
And there always is a period of time for each as that develops, is there not? Take me through, if you can, the different periods in design when it comes to sports.
Oh, wow. There's so many different periods. And, going back to, the early 1900s, design, as far as it was presented in sports, was really archaic. This was a time before uniforms were what we would consider they are now. In baseball, they didn't have names or numbers on the back of the uniforms. Uniforms were not very consistent between players on a team or even from a team from, one series to the next. And then as you move along, now it's kind of crazy. There's a big joke with Twitter, when teams reveal their new uniforms or their new logo, inevitably there's going to be backlash on social media. And teams didn't have that back in the day. It was, you put it out there and, teams would wear something for a season or two. And if they didn't like it, they would switch back. And now the cycles run through a little quicker these days, thanks to social media.
Who were some of the great influencers in this that you saw and that you've covered and written about?
Oh man. I've been fortunate enough to write a few articles for UniWatch, thanks to Paul Lucas and Phil Hecken. And that's a site that deals primarily with sports uniforms, but they also delve into other areas of sports imagery. And the way that I initially started that was I had posted a photo of my bookshelf one day, and Phil, who is the deputy editor, saw that it had a book from Neil Leifer, who was a very famous photographer, starting back in the 60s, I believe, worked for Sports Illustrated. Just, you know, if you can think of iconic photography, photographs in sports, there's a good chance he took them. You know, images like Muhammad Ali over Sonny Liston, Hank Aaron holding his 715th home run ball. Those were all taken by Neil, and just a epic talent in the world of photography. And, you know, he was a great, you know, there were so many photographers. Art-wise, you know, the thing with art is back in the day, they weren't celebrated because usually they worked for the team or they worked for, you know, an agency that worked for the team. So, you know, back in the day, Philip Wrigley from the Cubs had a guy named Otis Shepherd and his wife Dorothy, and they did a ton of stuff around the Wrigley Spearmint Gum, and they also did a lot of work for the Cubs. So it's one of those where he just kind of, that was another thing for him to do. It wasn't necessarily something he concentrated on. So it's really kind of, you know, just I would say in the last probably 20 or 30 years that sports has evolved into having its own niche in terms of design and you know, art and those types of things.
Jimmy Parker is with us. He's the founder and creative director of Beauty of a Game, and you can find Jimmy on Twitter at Beauty of the Game. This is an observation on my part. Feel free to correct me if you think I'm wrong about this, Jimmy. But I think the kind of the art of design and presentation has really lost some of the beauty because of technology. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, you could create a picture with pen or pencil in hand, and it had a real depth to it. But I think with technology, it's just, okay, what can we do to trick everybody with this image and everything? Am I off base on that thought?
Not entirely. You know, I think I have an interesting perspective on this because I came of age when I started taking design courses. I had to buy, you know, T-squares and markers and all these tools that we would consider rudimentary now. But by the time I graduated, it was like, you better learn the computer. So, you know, I have a foot in both sides of the field, so to speak. The computer is really just a tool. It's no different than a paintbrush, than, you know, a magic marker, than any other tool that an artist may have. With the computer, I think there's the tendency for things to happen a lot more quickly, especially in terms of social media. Nowadays, so many teams have social media teams. You know, so many sports teams have social media teams that are posting things constantly. So the churn is so much quicker. So that's why, you know, people use the computer. But there is something to be said for, you know, the older photos, the older ways of designing, and kind of that handheld, hand-done technique that is harder to capture on the computer.
Yeah, and I also think that when you think about a black and white photograph compared to a color photograph, I can see the beauty of both of those. But there's something about the depth and the history of whatever they're shooting that comes out in black and white, I think, more than it does in color.
Yeah, it's black and white. There's something beautiful about that, you know, and when it was done, you know, black and white photography, it distills the essence of something down in such a way that's hard to capture with color. You know, there's also a lot of people nowadays who will colorize old black and white photos. And as you can imagine, they're all over the place. You know, some people do great work, some people not. But when it's done right, when, you know, you take these old black and white photographs that have only existed as black and white photographs and someone brings them to life in a colorized version, they're really kind of jaw-dropping because we're not used to seeing those people in color photographs. So when it's done well, it's amazing to look at.
We've got about 35 seconds left in all the things you've seen, and I know this is an unfair question. Give me one or two quickly that kind of stick out in your mind.
Really, You know, I hate to single anybody out because there are some great people working in this field. But for me, a guy named Sean Kane up in Canada, he paints. Look for him. I believe his handle is Painted Gloves. He hand paints vintage baseball gloves. And the typography, the portraiture that he puts on these things is just amazing. And that's one of the things that I remember kind of stopping me in my tracks. And before I started this, was like, wow, that's awesome.
Jimmy, technology has been wonderful for a lot of different things. But when you take a look at it in the area that you're interested in, which is art and design and photography and everything, what can it do that maybe was not capable of being done, say, 10, 15 years ago?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, as far as creating the art itself, you know, so many people, it's so much easier and quicker to version things with the computer. And by that, I mean, make changes, revert to a previous state with a work of art, those types of things. So in some aspects, it's made it quicker and easier to do things. But for me, the thing that I've really noticed is that just because of social media and the way that the internet is nowadays, it's so much easier for artists to get their names out there, to create a following, to share their work, and really, you know, build up passionate followings in a lot of cases. You have artists that have, you know, huge followings on social media, and that's due to just the emotional response that these works of art create with people. You know, we have our favorite teams, we have our favorite players, and there's something that a work of art, if done well, speaks to people, and that's really a powerful thing. And so thanks to social media, it's so much easier for these artists to get their names out there and to create that following.
And also, hasn't technology given artists, and I use that in a broad term, the opportunity to do this type of work on many different things? You alluded to it just a little bit earlier. I mean, it's not just jerseys. It's not just pictures or that sort of thing. It's on mugs now. It's on a myriad of things, is it not?
Oh, it's incredible. You know, and that's just the printing technology of it. You know, we have, I know people that take, you know, laser etchings of baseball bats and carve names in the bats, or cut bats and create, you know, wooden drinking cups. <You know? laughs> so just the technology exists. And the wonderful thing about technology is once the technology is invented, somebody's going to find a way to make that make art. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's going to find a way to use that to create something that none of us could have ever thought was possible.
If you had to crystal ball, say, another 15 years down the road, what might be available or what might be done in this area?
Oh, man. You know, just given the changes over the last 15 years, who knows? But I do think it's going to be – I think it's going to continue to be easier for people to make their name, so to speak, and you know, create this following with social media, however that evolves. I think, you know, galleries, you know, not necessarily will be in person. You know, I think galleries may be online. I've seen a lot of people who, you know, sell their own prints online so they don't have to, you know, go through a third party or whatnot. So just the tools that the internet enables, I think has given rise to people who in the past may have viewed their art as more of a hobby, and now they're able to make money off that hobby, if not fully sustaining themselves and their living, you know?
In 20 seconds, what about the appreciation for this area going forward?
I think it's only going to grow. I think, you know, one of the things, this downturn, this pandemic, you know, as we've missed sports, we miss those heroes. We miss those moments of heroism. And, you know, that's one of the things that great sports art does, is it reminds us of those heroes.
Jimmy, I got to tell you, I've seen some of the things that you've written about on Beauty of a Game. It's just outstanding. I urge everybody to check it out. And you can find Jimmy on Twitter at Beauty of the Game. Thanks a lot, Jimmy. Take care. Come back and visit with us again.
Thanks, Ron.
Jimmy Parker, again, creative director and founder of Beauty of a Game. And he explores the beauty of sports through the lens of art, design, photography, and also the maker community. We continue with more of You in America's Sports Talk Show.